are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Detroit basketball! What's the deal? Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Pistons podcast. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. Per usual, I am your host, Kuka Hill. You can find me on Twitter at Kuka Hill NBA. You can find me on YouTube at Kuz Ballroom. You can also find me over at Detroit Bad Boys, writing articles about the Pistons. And we are recording this the day before the Pistons' second Summer League game against the Houston Rockets and Jalen Green, obviously. But let me tell you about who we have here with you guys today. We have Bryce, who is in Las Vegas. I know you guys wanted me to be out there. I've had a lot of you guys already send me questions. Hey, are you out in Las Vegas? Did you actually go? Blah, blah. I did not end up going, sadly. Bryce and everyone, especially Bryce, is making me really regret this. making me feel like I'm missing out on a lot. Definitely my fiance is not the happiest either. I know she's listening. She's not going to be very happy at all to hear this, what we're going to get into in first. But Bryce, how's it going, man? You doing good?
Yeah, I'm good, man. And so, Megan, I know you're going to be listening to this bright and early on Tuesday morning. Next year, you guys are coming out. I'm going to introduce you to my wife. You guys can hang out, go do your thing while Koo and I go to the gym. Like, we're going to make this happen. So we're coming out for a game in Detroit this year. We'll meet up at that, and then we'll make all of our plans. So book it. Next year, Koo's going to be in Vegas.
Definitely. We're definitely going to have to meet up for that Pistons game you end up going to this year as well. But, yeah, definitely I wish I could have went, but hey, next year I'll be there. I'll probably be there next year. This sounded like a lot of fun. But before we get into last Summer League game and for the game tomorrow against the Houston Rockets and Jalen Green, Bryce, just tell us about your experience so far in Las Vegas. Has there been a ton of Pistons fans? Have you met with a bunch of Pistons guys? Have you guys had fun? How's the environment been? How was it like seeing Cade? Like all of that. Tell us a little bit about your experience right now in Las Vegas and what it's like.
Yeah, so like complete transparency, this is my first time in Vegas, first time at Summer League, and we're staying at the MGM Grand, and I walked in Saturday night, and I was overwhelmed, Koo, like straight up. It was like a lot for me. As some of you know, I'm from a very small town, never been out, so I like came and hid in my room, essentially, and started breaking down Trey Lyles' film, because I just needed, it was overkill for me. But going to the gym, meeting people, meeting random Pistons fans, you know, a young kid, walked in, not young kid, but a college age kid walked in, has a Cade Cunningham shirt on and, you know, just struck up a conversation. I was telling you before we recorded, I got to sit down with Keith Black Trudeau, the Pistons historian. You guys need to be following him on Twitter if you're not. And we got to, you know, watch a game and talk for 45 minutes in person. So me and Amari Sankofa, go listen to that episode of the Motor City Hoops podcast. We actually got to record in person in the hotel room. So just a lot of those connections were able to be made. And Vegas is hot, though, Koo. I know we've talked about that a little bit, but it's been a really cool experience.
So, first of all, absolutely, it's hot. I've seen you guys talk about it nonstop about how hot it is. I wish I could have came out. I definitely probably would have had fun, but I don't know how much fun I would have been able to have because I would have melted and died. But just how was it seeing Cade? And not even just Cade, but Killian, seeing Sadiq, seeing Sekou, seeing all these players in person for their first Summer League game. It'll be 2 days ago when you guys listened to it. How was that game for you? Obviously, the Pistons lost. It didn't go, I guess, as well as everybody wanted to. But how was it like in person watching the game?
Yeah, so like it was exciting. You know, like I felt like there was a buzz in the gym. Pistons fans were excited. You know, you could tell on Twitter. You can always kind of get a vibe with Twitter how excited people are. But even the Pistons fans that were there, and that first quarter just started out so incredible. Cade comes out, hits a couple shots. Killian's dropping dimes. You know, Sekou's getting blocks, all that. So it all started out so well, and there was just so much energy in the gym. And Keith and I actually talked about this today. Then the substitution started happening, and that's not on the coach. I assume that's coming from the top, that they wanted to see these guys. That's what the Summer League's about. But that took some rhythm out of the game. And then I think the officials kind of had a heavy whistle. And then all of a sudden it was weird because then the energy was out of the gym. But just in terms of seeing those guys, it was exciting. It was exciting for me. We sat close enough. I could hear a lot of a lot of the talk. So I could hear Cade Cunningham talking on defense. And one thing that I do want to know is Cade and Killian do seem to have a very close relationship, at least out in public. Like, they walked onto the court together and you could see them interacting a ton. And I think that's important.
So that definitely is cool to see. When I was credentialed, or cool to hear, when I was credentialed for the 19-20 season, that was one of the things that jumped off at me at the very beginning, is that I could literally hear like players talking on defense. I could hear them saying what they were saying to each other. I could hear them calling out things. Like, yeah, that part right there is like a real cool and interesting part that you get to have when you go to games and you're close enough. It gives you like a different, I guess it gives you like a different viewpoint of view the game, because like you can hear these guys calling out things, and then you can see like firsthand, you know who messed up. You know, like if they call out a switch or they call something to happen and it doesn't happen, like you know who called it out, who messed up, who was in the wrong, who should have been quit, like all that kind of stuff. It definitely is pretty cool. And that was one of the things I witnessed when I was credentialed for that season. The first things I noticed, it was like, damn, that's pretty cool. I can hear everything going on. So I definitely know what you're saying with that, but glad you're having fun in Summer League. I'm glad it's – oh, go ahead.
Yeah, just real quick. So I actually learned a new term. Like, me and my best friend that was out here with me, and he's a high school coach too. He's won state championships. And we kept hearing the team say, low man, low man, low man, or yeah. And we're like, we couldn't figure out for a little while. And if you watch my Detroit Bad Boys breakdown of Cade Cunningham's game, I talk about it in the defensive video. I'm sure some of you guys skip over the defensive video, but go watch that one. And it talks about what the low man is. And essentially, it's the weak side guy that's supposed to be the help if there's a ball screen and a roll man that comes open. So all those things you're talking about, you can figure out then, okay, it's supposed to be the low man and who that is and if he does or doesn't help. Or you hear him yell out, ice, ice, ice. And that's a way to defend a ball screen. And if they don't do it correctly. So it's really cool. You get into those little intricacies. And one thing impressed me with Cade, I know we'll get into Cade a lot, but was how vocal he was defensively. Cool. Like, he is a leader. Like, you can tell right off the bat, that's what he wants to do. And he's very, very vocal.
Yeah. I think even with his game, his first game being a little bit of a struggle, I think that was something even us watching at home, we saw him cheering and standing up, clapping and cheering on his teammates after every bucket damn near. We saw him encouraging teammates. We saw him constantly talking to people anytime the camera came onto him. Like you said, it looks like he's just a born leader. And that definitely is something that Troy Reaver already talked about, and some of the things that were said before the draft even happened. That wasn't a shock for me to see. So definitely exciting to see that. I'm happy to hear that it's going so well for you guys down there. I think it's really cool that you got to meet Keith, and definitely the fact that you got to sit down with Omari and record a podcast with them. That was pretty dope as well. So I hope, I know that you said you messed up a little bit and not going to be able to see tomorrow's game. You got your flight before tomorrow's game. That sucks. But I hope the first game and everything, that was all pretty cool. And definitely I'll try to make it out to next year and try to experience all that with the rest of the Pistons fans, you and your wife. And hopefully maybe even Keith goes back out again. Maybe Duncan goes out. Who knows? Maybe we'll see some of you guys listen to the podcast next year. So definitely sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. Is there anything else that you want to tell everybody about your experience in Vegas before we move on?
Nah, like I said, like, it just, everything you just outlined and we've talked about is so true. Like I said, I mean, it was kind of surreal getting to sit down with Omari. Like, when he said that he would come over and record in person, I was like, you know, this is incredible. Like, and we've talked about this, you know, I've talked about how much you've done for me and Motor City Hoops and the podcast and helping me grow. And then guys like Rod Beard and James and Omari and Duncan and all these guys. And I just, again, anytime I get a chance to reiterate that to the listeners, like how amazing these guys are, because I'm a nobody in Pistons world. You know, I've been around for 9 months and you guys have welcomed me with open arms and go out of your way to help. And you guys would do it for anybody. And so I hope the fan base appreciates that, you know, you guys are going on other podcasts and doing all that. And it just was reinforced being out here and being around these guys, how cool they are. And I appreciate it a lot for sure.
Absolutely. The Pistons community, we may have been through some losing. We may have to deal with that a lot, but we definitely are here for each other. We're definitely all pretty cool. And I'm happy that we all are able to give up that vibe to everybody that comes into the community, everyone that's new into the community. I think that's pretty dope that all that happened. So definitely going to try and make it out to next year's game. But when we come back, we're going to talk about last game, the very first game. We're going to recap that with Bryce, get some of his thoughts. You guys already heard my thoughts last podcast. If you haven't listened to it, make sure you guys go listen to it. But we'll get Bryce's thoughts, what he took away from the game. And then we'll also preview tomorrow's game against Jalen Green and the Houston Rockets. But before we get into any of that, let me tell you about one of our sponsors, RockAuto.com. you ever need a part for your car, head to the store, go through a ton of confusing questioning just for one of the workers to tell you that they don't have the part that you're looking for. I know I have. That's why you should avoid all these problems and rock with another one of our sponsors, rockauto.com. Find whatever part you're looking for on your computer or in your hand on your phone by using rockauto.com. Don't worry about having to create an account or making a membership. Just head over to rockauto.com and start shopping. rockauto.com always offers the lowest and most reliable prices. Head over to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. All right, Bryce, so obviously we talked a little bit about it already, just a little bit though, but first game didn't go as well as people thought it was going to go. I definitely came out the gates really hot. I think everyone was going crazy out the gate. But obviously it slowed down. The Pistons ended up losing the game. Before we dive into the game and try to talk about things specifically, just what was your overall takeaway from the game?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the hot start, you know, everybody was excited. It was a lot of fun. There was a ton of energy. And I think it was a 14-point lead or 16-point lead, and things were looking really good. And then again, I do think, you know, the substitutions kind of took away the rhythm and the flow. I'm not saying the officials were bad, but I just felt like the officials kind of got to, you know, a happy whistle, and it took a lot of energy out of the gym. And, you know, late in the second into the third quarter, they're just, you know, in the arena in general, there wasn't a lot of energy. And then, you know, we got into the fourth quarter and the Pistons made a little run at it. And obviously we're not able to come all the way back, but I mean, it was at least nice to see that, like, you know, the hot start and, you know, Killian and Cade playing really well and Sadiq playing well pretty much throughout the entire game.
All right. So let's go ahead and dive into more specifically. So Cade Cunningham, obviously he shot 5 of 17 from the field. He didn't have the most efficient night. He turned the ball over a little bit, but I think everyone knows that, like, at least I count at least three. It could even be four, but I count at least three that shouldn't really be turnovers for him if Tyler Cook simply catches the ball. But obviously he didn't have the best night his first summer league game. I think we both are in agreement. I think anyone who's smart is in agreement that it's not that big of a deal. It's summer league. But without overreacting too much, what was your takeaways from Cade's game? Is there anything that you're worried about? Are you just like not overreacting at all? Did you actually see some things even with his struggling that you liked? Like what did you take away from the game from him?
Yeah. So first, again, like if you want to go, I did a breakdown last night. I stayed up after the game and did a breakdown. So go check that out on Detroit Bad Boys if you get the chance. But he didn't shoot the ball well. And to me, the shot looked good though. So he's going to make those shots. He got some good looks. And I've said this to multiple people today. Ku, if he had 18 points in the box score right now, we wouldn't be having this conversation. It doesn't, you know, and he easily could have had 18 points just making one or two more threes. If he makes two more threes, he's already there. Even if he just makes one, he didn't get to the free throw line. He missed a couple easy buckets. And I just don't think that's who Cade Cunningham is. Like, I don't think so. He was fine in that aspect. You brought up the turnovers. Those turnovers could have easily turned into assists if that's a player at a higher level. You know, the one thing I do think I noticed was him playing through contact, and I think it bothered him at times. He didn't look very big. You know, I'm sure we'll talk about Killian Hayes, who did look noticeably stronger and bigger. But Cade was definitely able to get pushed off his line on drives with a more aggressive defense. So I think that's something to watch for as we go through the next few games.
Are you, just for everyone out there, all the trolls out there, are you second guessing the pick at all because of one summer league game?
No, like, and that's what, and here's the thing. Tonight, whenever they play the Rockets, like, Jalen Green is really good. I watched him play. He's very impressive. He, you know, Cade may end up playing better than him tonight. And people are still going to walk away thinking Jalen Green's better because he just pops. Like, he has a wow factor to his game with the step back and his explosion, and he probably has some highlight dunk. But, like, no, it's one summer league game. I was fine with what I saw from Cade. Like, he's going to make those shots. Like, now, if he shoots this way through all of summer league in the first month of the regular season, then, yeah, you start to get a little bit worried. But, no, like, everything's fine. I don't second guess it whatsoever.
I just wanted to troll you a little bit with that question. I know it was a little bit of an insane question to ask you, but I'm sure you've seen the discourse that's went on about it. But I did say in the last podcast, and I've said it on Twitter multiple times already, that basically Jalen Green is being given the fact, like the route to just, hey, go score, go do what you do best and just score the ball. And obviously, like you said, he's really good. He's going to be good at doing that, especially against some elite competition. Like he's going to be good at that. I feel like personally though, the Pistons are not doing that. They're not doing, hey, here you go, Cade, and just do. Okay, we have some breaking news that we have to talk about right now concerning the Pistons. I don't know if you just got this update, Bryce, but restricted free agent Frank Jackson returning to the Detroit Pistons on a 2-year deal. Jackson earned his way into a rotation with 40% 3-point shoot on nearly 10 points per game last season. Wolves just tweeted out. So, Bryce, we'll get right back to Cade, but I know Frank Jackson is your dude. I know you love Frank Jackson. Are you happy to hear this news?
Oh, you know, I'm juiced, man. Like, my heart stopped whenever you did that coup. I was like, oh my God. I was like, what is going on? Coup doesn't do this. Like, I'm so confused. And so, yeah, I'm on Twitter right now and I just saw the tweet from Woj. So, yeah, I was talking to Amari about this today. Like, is this stuff going to happen soon? Like, are we going to have to wait it out a little while? So I'm looking at it again here. So what'd you say? 2-year deal, probably not going to get the money stuff for a little while. Knowing Troy Weaver, there's probably a team option the way he loves team options, but, you know, I love this. I'm a huge Frank Jackson guy. I want to see him in the second unit and provide some of that scoring punch. So, just a great way to cap off my Monday night as we're recording this, getting this news.
This is actually pretty cool. I don't think this has ever happened before live on the podcast.
I'd say it's too bad we weren't live right now.
This is pretty cool. I'm very happy about this. I obviously very much wanted Frank Jackson back. I think his skill set is desperately needed with this lineup, with this team, his shooting ability, his straight up scoring ability. It's going to be interesting about how they work the rotation because they did not get rid of Josh Jackson. So I'm a little bit like interested to see how they make this work. I just don't see how Frank Jackson doesn't play like 20 minutes or somewhere around there a game. The Pistons desperately need his spacing, his shooting, and his scoring desperately, specifically his shooting. Like they very clearly need that. So it's going to be interesting to see how they work that out with him, Josh Jackson, and Diallo when he eventually returns, if he does return. So, but 2 years, definitely love this contract for Frank Jackson. I love having him back. I don't know if this is going to have a team option at the end, because all the team options, I believe, have all been like three-year deals with team option on the third year, which is something I want to talk with Bryce about on a podcast coming up, because I think there's like a big plan being set up. I think it's very clear to see that Troy Weaver is eyeing that 2023 season as a potentially big splash moment. It lines up with his contracts that he's been signing and the cap sheets that he's been signing. But anyways, great to have Frank Jackson back, but let's go ahead and try to get back into Cade Cunningham. I know we got thrown off base a little bit there, but some news that we had to talk about there.
I love that we're both like felt that we had to send out a tweet while we're recording the podcast in reaction. I just saw your quote tweet and I was quote tweeting while you were talking about it there. So I think that should show everybody how excited we are and how much we enjoy Frank Jackson that we felt the need to have to immediately quote tweet. We couldn't even wait till we were done recording this podcast here in about 15 minutes. So
definitely. And it should show our dedication to all you guys, to give you guys the content and be on top of everything for you guys, literally at all times, even when we're recording already. but Cade Cunningham's game. So basically, Bryce, what I was saying to you was, I feel like that basically what I was saying was Jalen Green's being given the route to just, hey, go score, go do your thing. For me, I feel like the Pistons aren't doing that. The Pistons are trying to use the Summer League to try to get into a groove, gel their players together, because they have three of the five starters likely to be three of the five starters for the upcoming season, with Killian Hayes, Cade Cunningham, and Sadiq Bey already here right now. So I feel like they're trying to work through that, try to work out some kinks, you know, and not necessarily just say, hey, Cade, here you go put up some monster numbers to get some nice likes on Instagram and get everyone buzzing on social media and having everyone going crazy about, you know, these games don't really matter. We're trying to get everyone ready for the regular season. So I feel like that definitely is what's going on with the Pistons. But it was a fun start for Cade at the beginning. I will say that it was a very fun start and I was literally losing my mind. And I just want to say, we'll talk about this a little bit when we come back, but I do want to preview tomorrow's game. So that will be a little short. But Killian Hayes, to open the game, he set himself clearly, in my opinion, as the best player on the court, like early. Like, at very early, he looked like the best player on the court. I don't know if you feel the same way, but he was dominating defensively. He was finding guys wide open. His no-look pass to Sekou Cutting was insane. He was controlling the tempo, controlling the game. Like, he looked like the best player on the court. Did you get that same takeaway early on in the game?
Yeah, I mean, I think overall Sadiq Bey was the best Piston on the floor, you know, for the entirety of the game. But I thought early on Killian looked good. He made nice passes. His stat line was good. You know, what's interesting with Killian is he's still going to be polarizing. I had, you know, people that watched the game with me and that I talked to in the stands. And, you know, one person would say they thought he was awful and another person thought he played really well. And so I think he's going to continue to be polarizing. You know, I think the concerning thing was we didn't see the jump shot, at least from the three-point line, look good. I believe he hit a mid-range, and then he had the little floater that you highlighted today going to his left, you know, where he, you know, you were talking about wanting to see him do the little scoop layup, and but he still was able to finish. One thing I do want to, and I know we need to move on from Cade just a little bit, but you brought up how he wasn't really featured. And again, my friend that's out here with me watching, and he doesn't watch a ton of Pistons game, but we went to all the games. And that's a comment he made as well. Like, Scottie Barnes for Toronto kind of got featured and played a ton of minutes. Obviously, Jalen Green for the Rockets played a ton of minutes and got featured offensively. And it just doesn't seem – and I'm not saying this is a bad thing, but I don't think Cade Cunningham got the same freedom and featuring offensively as those guys did. So that contributes as well. Now, he's still got plenty of shots up. But I do think that was a good point you made, that he didn't really get featured quite like those guys do.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that a little bit more when we come back, and then we'll preview tomorrow's game against Jalen Green and the Houston Rockets. But before we get into any of that, let me tell you about another one of our sponsors, BetOnline.ag. Betting is now legal in Michigan, and if you're anything like me, you want to take advantage of that instantly. However, there's one problem I constantly ran into. There's just so many different apps to bet through. Which betting app is the best to use? Which one is the best for me? That's why I found BetOnline. The fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. The NFL season might be over, but the NBA Summer League and MLB are still in full swing. If you want to take your adventures beyond sports, however, BetOnline has you covered there too. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, reality TV, things I didn't even know you could bet on. BetOnline has real-time updated odds and props on just about anything you can imagine. BetOnline is the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head over to BetOnline now to sign up and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit, and make sure you use promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline. Your online sportsbook experts. So before we went to break, Bryce, you kind of hit on a point that I want to touch on a little bit, and then we can move on to tomorrow or today's game against Jalen Green and Houston Rockets. But yeah, I think it was very noticeable that it wasn't just give Cade the ball and let him do what he wants to do and showcase his skills out here. Like, I've said this multiple times already, but I'll say it again. It really does feel like the Pistons are trying to, you know, I'm trying to find the best word, resemble like a regular season game, and trying to put things together and trying to simulate that kind of game for what's going to happen coming up soon. Because I don't think Cade's going to have the ball in his hands all the time in the regular season. Neither will Killian. They're going to have to learn how to play together. They're going to have to learn how to vibe off each other, which I do think, even though Cade didn't have the best game shooting-wise, I think that them two have a decent chemistry going right now and are vibing a little bit off each other. I don't know if you feel the same way. But I'll let you respond. But I feel like that's already working its way there, but I think that's what they're going to spend the entirety of the summer league doing. I don't anticipate – I mean, I think he's going to eventually have a big game, like he's just going to, I think. But I wouldn't be shocked if it's more of things like yesterday or 2 days ago, the rest of the summer league, because they're trying to work on things for the summer for the regular season, not summer league stats. So that's just my overall takeaway from Cade Cunningham's game.
Yeah, I think you're right. I do think there's a vibe. Again, this is stuff you get to notice whenever you're in the gym, and you just see how they interact with each other. They sit next to each other on the bench. And like, I don't want to mean to read, but like, you can't read into those things individually, but like, just as collectively as you watch them interact in multiple situations, in warmups, on the bench, etc., you can tell that there's like a vibe there and that they're developing chemistry. And I do believe that stuff is important. I think that can help translate to then good chemistry on the floor. It's not the end all be all. It doesn't mean it's definitely going to make it work. I'm just saying I think it is a component to help make that successful. One thing I want to talk about is defensively. Now, there wasn't a lot of rim protection, obviously, right, from the five. Now, there was from Sekou. I'm sure you talked about it. I haven't had a chance to listen to yesterday's episode yet. I am on my flight back home today, but Sekou provided some of that, but I thought Cade and Killian both showed some really good signs of what they can provide defensively, which is something we've talked about with their length, their anticipation, active hands. And so I'm excited about that from that combination also. And it kind of showed itself in the game on Sunday.
Yeah, definitely did. Their length and activity off ball, I think, is going to be scary. You even saw it, like you said, in the summer league. Hopefully we'll see in the regular season, but I think they showcased that they can be pretty scary defensively. I personally, I guess this is a perfect way actually to shift into the next topic of the game against Jalen Green, the Houston Rockets. I'm interested, Bryce, to see if Jalen Green pops off like that against Killian Hayes and Kay Cunningham defensively. Do you think he's going to have an easiest time as he did last game? Do you think he's that prolific of a player already where he's just going to make work of them? I don't know. I think he's going to have a little bit of a tougher time against these two guys.
Yeah, no, I think this is going to be really interesting. And I think the very first thing to watch for Pistons fan is see who's matched up with Jalen Green on the first defensive possession. You know, like whenever the defense is set, because, you know, not off a transition because the cross matches happen in those situations. But watch who matches up with Jalen Green. I'm interested to see who it's going to be. But and I assume at different times, Cade and Killian both are going to, you know, end up matched. And I would say if there's one weakness for those guys defensively, sometimes it is like in straight isolation situations. So I'm interested to see how they hold up. And just on the topic of Jalen Green, because I won't be surprised if he has a good scoring game tomorrow. He can shoot it at a high level. He's a tough shot maker. But if you're a Piston fan and you want to know why you should still be excited about Cade Cunningham, all I'm going to say is watch other aspects of Jalen Green. Watch if he goes and rebounds. Watch his defensive, what he does defensively. Watch if he leaks out on a defensive possession. Watch him off ball defense. Like if you really want to know, like watch some of that stuff and maybe he'll be great at it tomorrow. But I'll just tell you from watching him in person, there were some things that showed up that those smaller intricacy things that definitely showed up watching him live that I don't think you're going to have issues with Cade Cunningham.
Fair enough. None of us are trying to hate on Jalen Green. Jalen Green is going to be really good, I think. But I mean, if we're going to do this whole, oh, we're regretting Cade, like another thing you can look at is the fact that actually, you know what? I'm not going to do that. That's disingenuous. I'm never going to do what I was about to do just now because it would contradict everything I'm saying about not doing with Cade and Killian and everything. Basically, it's summer league. Everyone chill out. That's what I'm going to end it with. I'm never going to do what I was about to do because that would have been mean. But just chill out. It's summer league. There's all kinds of things to look forward to, everything to be happy about. Wolves just tweeted another thing with a free agent. I thought we were about to see Hamidou Diallo, so I almost freaked out just now, but it's just the Warriors signing some dude named Chris. But anyways, I'm looking forward to seeing tomorrow's game and seeing how Jalen Green does against Cade Cunningham and Killian Hayes backcourt defensively. You are right that I feel like some of their where they are weaker in at defense at the point of attack. But we'll see how that goes. What else, is there anything else that you're looking forward to for tomorrow's game?
No, so like I just want to say like I wasn't trying to knock Jalen Green, and I know you know that, but for listeners, I know what the narrative is already starting to be, and I know what the narrative could be after tonight's game because Jalen Green may have more wow moments. So all I'm asking people to do is as you're watching the game, watch those other aspects as well and see if you're just as impressed with his off-ball defense, with his rebounding, how engaged he is. That's all I'm saying is you know, watch that stuff also because that is important stuff, in terms of a basketball game. So that's all I was trying to say. I'm interested to see. I thought Sadiq Bey showed – I know this is a touchy one from the green room today. but I did think he showed some mid-range game. We're not going to get into the playmaking because you and I see eye to eye. We're in lockstep on that. But I did. He made a couple tough mid-range shots like in isolation. And while I don't think that's going to be a role he needs to have, at times it's nice to have another guy that will be able to do that. So I'm interested to see that. I'd like to see Killian Hayes look to score the ball more. And I'm just going to be completely blunt with this, Ku. I would really like to see bounce back games from Saben Lee and Tyler Cook. Saben Lee flashed some good moments. Tyler Cook, not as much. I mean, those guys had good moments playing in NBA games last year, and they didn't look great in a summer league game. And so I'm hoping, and I think we will see them play a lot better tonight.
Man, don't get me started on Tyler Cook.
I know. I know.
I just don't know if I can say anything positive about him because that the thing is like he played what possibly could have been like the worst game he possibly could have played. Like I'm not sure he could have played a worse game in that first summer league game. I'm legit with that. I do agree with you that I'd like to see a bounce back game from Saban Lee tonight against the Rockets. I do not want to see that 3-guard lineup anymore. That lineup, it should be thrown away. I don't care if it's something the Pistons want to see. The Pistons should not want to see it anymore because it really is not going to work. I get the idea of trying to get Cade at the three and seeing what it looked like with two other guards. It would probably look good with Frank Jackson as the 2-guard, but not Saban Lee, who can't shoot and is small. So it's just like it just doesn't work. And I think that really hampered the Pistons' like great start. I think that really pulled it down as well. And obviously, before we wrap up the podcast, I know you got to go soon. Bryce is big time now. He's going with a big dinner reservation in Las Vegas with his wife. You know, he's out there big time. You hear me? But obviously, we got to talk about Sekou at least a little bit, man. What did you like from Sekou? Because I'm sure you know that I liked a lot of what I saw from him. But I do want to hear, like, people try to tell me I'm biased. I don't think I am. So I'll let you try to tell me what you liked from Sekou if I'm being a little bit too hype about his performance in the first game. Because I really thought that overall he might have been the second best player for the Pistons. I'm not going to lie. So, Bryce, go ahead. What did you think about his first game with Summer League?
I thought he was good. I thought he was fine. I wish, so I'll start with like, I don't want to say this is a negative, but I wish we would have seen some of that cutting and slashing in the half court that I'm so impressed with and love so much from Sekou. I didn't think we saw that quite as much. Now floor spacing can be an issue and make that hard. But I thought he was really good defensively, Koo. And I haven't like broke down the film, and you miss stuff sometimes when you're watching live. So maybe it wasn't as good as I thought, but I think he ended up with 5 blocks, if I'm not mistaken. He had an incredible possession where he was like defending on the perimeter, and then actually Killian Hayes lost his man off the ball. And Sekou then was actually able to recover from the top of the key, go down and get a block late in the shot clock. And it was, I think this was late in the fourth quarter whenever they were kind of making their run.
Yep, with a minute left.
Yeah, so that was a great defensive possession from Sekou. That, you know, we had the French connection a couple times in the first half in a transition situation where he got out and ran. So I thought he was fine. I think he had a drive or a cut or something where he did get to his left hand. He is pretty good with his left, you know, like we've seen that a little bit more and more. So if I'm looking for one thing tonight, I want to see that like half court cutting, you know, like I'd love to see Cade catch the ball in the post or mid post. And then we get Sekou on a backdoor cut from the weak side or something. So that's what I'm looking for. And then continue to play good defense, maybe knock down a catch and shoot 3 after he gets himself going a little bit.
Yeah, I definitely would like to see him hit a 3 at some point. It is one of the things about Sekou that really does shock me is that he was such a good shooter in the G League, like on a decent amount of attempts too. And it just seems like he just hasn't been able to like bring that back to the NBA level or even the summer. Like obviously it's just one game. So maybe he comes out now and just wets the entire game. So who knows? But I'd like to see him hit a 3. I will say that I think the thing you mentioned about spacing definitely hurt his cutting ability in this game, because I think early on he got 2 buckets. Wait, no, not 2 buckets, but the first bucket he had was off a cut. The other one was off a leak out. I feel like anytime he's on the floor with Killian Hayes, that opportunity opens up. But anyways, basically, I really liked from him was his aggressiveness, his physicality, how many explosive plays I saw from him constantly. Like I don't know if I've seen Sekou have that many explosive plays in a singular game ever in the NBA. It was multiple times he had plays that were just like, damn, okay, that was pretty explosive. That was a big thing for me to see. It felt like that his motor was constantly 100%. Like he was, I felt like during the season, and obviously, like it makes sense. Me and obviously you played basketball too, obviously at college level, but I understand it. Like if you're cutting and you're running the floor and you feel like you're open and you never get the ball, I understand how that can be frustrating. You're kind of like, you know what, just whatever, bro. And you just like walk over to the corner. I feel like he did that a lot these past few seasons. To be honest, I can't really blame him. It'd get annoying for me too. But this game, I feel like even though he wasn't getting many touches and he was being just put in the corner offensively, he was constantly going. And he made some insane defensive plays, insane defensive rotations, switched out on the perimeter. And like you said, not only played incredible defense on the perimeter, but then like even after the play passed him, he still went to where the ball was and tried to make impacts all over the place. Like he was all over the place for the Pistons. So I really loved what I saw from Sekou. I hope I just really want to see today that him like possibly get the ball a little bit more. Like I said yesterday on the podcast, like if we're going to get Saban Lee pull up threes, can we also not get like, can we get like some Sekou ISOs possibly, maybe a post up for him every now and then, or like him involved in some kind of action at all instead of standing in the corner. Like if we're going to do this whole, you know, this is summer league, you want to see some guys work on some things they don't normally do. I'd like to see Sekou do something else besides stand in the corner, but that's just me, probably me being a fan a little bit, but that's what I'm looking forward to tonight and what I thought of Sekou's last game.
No, I think that's a good point. Like, you know, as you're talking about that, and I'm sure you could pull the synergy stats, you know, not right now, but eventually, and maybe you could tweet them out for me, if not for everybody. But like, I wonder how often Sekou gets involved in ball screens, because like, I don't just, as I'm, you know, trying to replay the game in my mind, like I don't remember him, and, you know, Tyler Cook wasn't necessarily a great option there. So I wonder if maybe they could get him in some balls, you know, as a screen and roll guy and see what he can do. And I'm fine. Yeah, let's throw – I mean, Tyler Cook got plenty of posts. Now I sound like I'm bashing Tyler Cook. I don't mean to. But he got plenty of post isolations. Why not give, you know, Sekou a post isolation and just see? You know, that's what Southern League is about. So I would like to see him get a little more involved there. But it was nice. You bring up a good point. When you're not touching the ball, when you don't get a shot every now and then, just get a little taste your energy level, it is hard to keep it up. So it was nice to see him, you know, play with that energy and that motor the whole time. And hopefully tonight we see a little bit more from his offensive game. And I know we're about ready to be done with the podcast, but I'm excited to see some of the other guys like Luka Garza. I know defensively it's a struggle, but I'm excited to see, well, you know, what he can continue to do. And I really hope we see Balsa Koprivica at some point in the next week, just, you know, get some action on the court and see what he has.
All right. Well, to end the podcast, Bryce, of course, had to throw this wrench into there, so I had to bring this up. Okay. So Bryce, you wanted to see how many times Sekou was involved in ball screens. This actually matches the eye test, and it's actually funny as hell. Like, it actually is very funny for me to see this. Okay. So this past season, his second season in NBA, take it over under, 30 pick and roll as him as the role man, 30 possessions, over or under.
The whole season?
Yeah, over or under.
It can't be under.
Are you guessing under or over?
Well, I guess I'm in Vegas. I'm actually up $50 for the listeners. So like,
There you go.
I'm about to lose it after suppers, but right now as we record, it has to be over 30. There's no way.
It's under. Now, we'll go again. Over under 20.
Cool. Come on. It has to be over.
Nope, under. All right, so we'll do this again. Under 18 possessions.
Over.
Nope, under. We're looking at 17 possessions this past season of Sekou being a pick and roll man.
17?
You want to know what's absolutely hilarious about this? Yeah. No, we haven't even got to the funny part about this. You want to know what's hilarious about this? It was by far his most efficient option on offense. By far. It's not even close. Like, he blows out of the water. So we'll go through this and we can end the podcast. I know you got them dinner reservations. So spot up, 5th percentile. Transition, 30th percentile. Cutting, 19th percentile. Offensive rebound, 62nd percentile. Post up, 21st percentile. But as the pick and roll man, he scored 1.35 points per possession and ranked in the 88th percentile in the NBA. Now, it's only 17 possessions, but I've been telling you guys for a year now, and honestly, Bryce really sprung this out there because I should have known. I should have thought about doing this beforehand, looking at his pick and roll man numbers. But even yesterday, there was a game this past season when he was in his sophomore season when he like played a small ball five for like, I believe, like I think it was like a few minutes in a, I forget what game it was, but he looked good in that scenario too. Just simply, please get Sekou involved in the offense. He just looks so much better when you actually have him involved screening and rolling and popping. Like, that's when he looks good. And the fact that he only had 17 possessions this past year was actually shocking as hell. And it honestly makes sense because they usually just spot him up in the corner, and that's what they were doing in the summer league too. So hopefully they, like, eventually get him involved in some screens and, like, try to use him where he actually should be used. But thank you, Bryce, for actually saying that, because yeah. I did not think it was this bad.
So, I mean, his new favorite friend, best friend, maybe Kelly Olynyk, because I don't know if Kelly Olynyk's going to play with the first or second team, but if Olynyk plays with the second team, that opens up our opportunities for Sekou to be in pick and roll situations, because Kelly Olynyk can be effective going and standing in the weak side's corner or the strong side corner with his shooting. I know we want to use Olynyk in pick and pop situations as well, but I'm just saying that that opens up other options for other guys to be involved in the ball screen, because Olynyk can space the floor off the ball.
Absolutely. So hopefully, I hope we see more of this from Sekou tonight. Hopefully get him involved in some ball screens, maybe even give him the ball a couple times in the post, see what happens. But we're going to go ahead and wrap up the podcast here. Bryce, thank you for hopping on here with me, man. As always, go ahead and let everybody know where they can find you and your podcast at.
Yeah, absolutely. So my wife is calling me as we speak, so I'm about to get in big trouble. So I better make this one quick. So Motor City Hoops on Twitter, Detroit Bad Boys did a breakdown of Cade Cunningham. More of those to come. Koo, as always, man, I appreciate you. I love coming on and talking. And I have a feeling this one could have went for about 60 minutes if we weren't up against the timeline. So it's probably good I had those reservations, because I think we were just going to go down a rabbit hole with all this. But I love it as always.
Yeah, definitely could have went down a rabbit hole. But, man, go have some fun with your wife, man. Go enjoy the reservations. Go have some dinner. Go enjoy it, man.
I appreciate it.
Thank you for getting on here with me. Thank you guys all for listening. I appreciate it always. Have fun watching the game tonight, and I'll catch you guys later. Peace out, everybody.